Dr. Timothy, I want to tell you that it's been a pleasure getting to know you, and I got to go through a couple years ago, but you know, something I can really appreciate about Pastor and Dr. Timothy is that he uses laughter almost as an anesthesia to prepare you for spiritual surgery. You know, seriously. And it's a beautiful gift that God's given you, Pastor, and I can appreciate that. And the way that things went this week, I saw people come in kind of tense and leave free, you know. And God has given you a gift to minister to people, and it's beautiful to witness. And I want to say thank you for your obedience to God, and thank you for coming to this house and sharing your ministry with us. And we look forward to the future of having you back. And it ain't going to stop just because I became pastor. We're going to welcome you back. Yeah, you know, I guess that happens sometimes. I don't know. I don't understand, but not in this house, you know. I got some deacons that would beat me up. Right, Miss Gay? Nah, she loves me, but I promise. My best friend Pam's back there too, so. Amen. Well, let's welcome Dr. Timothy Davis up here. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Bless you, brother.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. It is so good to be back with our New Life family. New Life. I talked to them this morning. Sedalia family. 2000, Denise and I were kind of reminiscing. 2011 was the first time we were invited to come here and conduct a cleansing seminar event. And then we've been back many times since then. And I just heard we're coming back again. So, praise God. this year. You know, there's so many things I love about Liberty Life. First of all, I love your name. All right? And you know what? You've got to keep fighting for your name. Because the enemy doesn't like. You know, for example, I know of a church in California. Their name was Koinonia, which is love. And their congregation is filled with so many hurtful, bitter people that they're not known as a church of love in their community. They're not. They really aren't. Okay? The enemy always attacks a church at their name because he doesn't want your name to be fulfilled. But this is, and this weekend is evidence of it, that there is liberty that's happening in this place. And so I love your name. I love the way you honor the Word of God, you know, even reading it as a congregation, the Psalms that you read on a regular basis, how wise that is. I love the way you're active in your community and that you're desirous to walk in unity with other portions of the body of Christ in order to do activities. And listen, that doesn't happen. Don't take those things for granted, all right? That doesn't happen in most cities. So when something like that comes up on your calendar, 100% jump in and participate because it has an impact upon our neighbors. And I love the way you bless Israel. I mean, the bottom line is God says, if you want a blessing, bless Israel. I will bless the. So any day I'm having a bad day, a hard day, a tough day, man, the first thing I can do is just start blessing Israel. And not only as an individual, but you as a church are blessing Israel, which is going to release a blessing upon you as a congregation. So there's just a lot going on here. I could keep going on and on. This is my first time here under the headship of your new pastors. It's been refreshing to meet Pastor Jeff and Megan and see the future of where God is directing this portion of the body of Christ and the impact that you're going to continue to have upon the community. This has just been a lot of retreats that we go to. We go home exhausted. And part of the reason is because Denise and I have to carry a lot of the spiritual load of that event in order for them there to be a breakthrough. Okay? Actually, it was like that in the beginning when we came to Sedalia years ago. All right? And I will say this event this weekend, this cleansing seminar retreat, We're going home, not tired, but refreshed. All right? And there's a lot of reasons for that. Your ministry team is growing and becoming more confident. Your worship, wow, your worship this morning. You don't have a team of entertainers. You have people that are just leading us in worship into the presence of God. And when you have worshipers leading worship, it's just refreshing. And so there's a lot of reasons why I would like to just move to Sedalia. So, those who have their cleansing seminar retreat books, go ahead and open them. My assignment today is to do the press-on teaching, and so we're going to do that. But at the same time, if you haven't gone through the cleansing seminar, I believe with all my heart, we may be the generation that hears the trumpet sound. All right? We may be the generation that meets Jesus in the air. Because of that, we also are the generation that's receiving more of a hellish attack than perhaps any other generation on earth. It is going to be so hellish that the Bible says in the last days, many in the church are going to fall away. All right? The apostate church. That there's going to be two churches in the end times. Okay? Those who have fallen away from sound doctrine. In other words, they've fallen away from believing in and obeying the Bible. And we see that. There's a bigger attack on the Bible today than ever before. Okay? Those of us who are elderly, we can go back 30 or 40 years, and the Bible was reverenced in our country. It's not happening today. All right? And the church is falling away from sound doctrine. They're falling away from believing and standing on the truth. If the Word says it, I believe it. All right? And the apostate church, unfortunately, when the rapture comes, they're going to be left behind. And there is an assault against the church like never before. And so even those who haven't completed the cleansing seminar, what do you need to do to press on? To make sure when the trumpet sounds, you fly away. All right? And so this teaching today can be for every one of us. So don't tune me out because, well, I didn't do the seminar, so I just have to wait here and get it over with. No, these are truths that are rooted in the Word of God. The first thing all of us need to do to press on is continue to be people of praise and worship. All right? I do not praise God because my emotions tell me to. Oh, that's just not my personality. Okay, no. I praise God because I'm an obedient son of the living God. He says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. There's my guideline right there. All right, do you have breath today? Yes. Go ahead and check it. Yeah, check it that way. Okay. If you got breath today, then I'm going to be a person of praise. And I'm not going to let the enemy decide, am I going to serve the living God because I'm having a good day, bad day. My emotions waver just like any other human being. All right? Your emotions go up and down. But that doesn't determine what my spirit does. And my spirit obeys the Word of God no matter what my soul is saying. Amen to that?
Amen.
Tell the person next to you. Continue to praise God every day. Also, how can I press on? I don't care what comes my way. What trial, what problem, what attack, they're going to happen. We live in an imperfect world. All right? But the bottom line is, my name is written in the book. All right? And by the way, if your name's not in the book, it's not because God doesn't want it there. It's because you haven't made the choice to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But there's going to be a day that those people whose names are in the book are going to be caught up and taken away. And because my name's in the book, Satan can't touch that book. All right? No matter what trial, no matter what problem, no matter what's going on around me, Praise God. Father God, my name is in your book. And the Lamb's Book of Life is going to be where I'm going to be a part of. All right. As a matter of fact, bow your heads for just a moment. Bow your heads. I'm not here. I'm a guest. I'm not here to embarrass anybody. But if your name's not in the book, oh, please, you need to become a son or daughter of the King of Kings. You need to be born again. In these last days, it's going to get more intense. And those who aren't born again are going to feel it. But those who have Jesus are going to make it through the trials. And if you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord, listen, He is so gracious that just as the man on the cross next to Him, that man just said, remember me. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. You don't have to jump through spiritual hoops. All you got to do is in your heart say, I want to be with Jesus for eternity. And the Bible says it takes two on earth to agree. So with all heads bowed, eyes closed, church is praying, if you would like Jesus to become your personal Savior today, and you've never done it before, I'm just going to ask you to lift your head, let your eyes meet mine, and I'm going to be that person that agrees with you that today's your day to have your name in the book. Is there anybody here that just lift your eyes and look at me? Anybody here? Ma'am, I see you. Is that why you're looking at me? Praise God. Anybody else? Just lift your eyes. I agree with you, sister. Today's your day. The Bible says angels are having a party right now because of you. Hallelujah. All right? Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? And if I don't see your eyes, just slip your hand up real quick, and I'll spot you. All right. Well, Father, I thank you for these two that accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior today. I thank you that you're writing their name in the book of life and that they have eternity with you. We rejoice. We rejoice. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm going to ask, I'm purposely not looking at you two, but I'm going to ask you two to sometime very soon, maybe even by the end of today before you leave church, come up and whisper in pastor's ear that you accepted Jesus today, because he wants to make sure that you have whatever materials you need to keep going. All right? So praise God for that. Hallelujah. What else do we do in these end times to press on? Well, we obey the words of Jesus. Go and sin no more. All right? Now, this is a hard one, because the majority of the church, forgive me, this is so true, the majority of the church of Jesus Christ believes we're sinners. We sin daily. All right? And brothers and sisters, that is a doctrine that hit the church about 125 years ago. And it's not biblical. Amen. He who is born of God does not sin. Amen. That's what the Bible says. I'm not a sinner. Oh, I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes. All have sinned. Don't say you've never sinned. I was a sinner. As a matter of fact, Paul calls those who are sinners sons and daughters of disobedience. He calls them sons and daughters of Satan. That's what he's saying. I used to be a son of Satan, but I'm no longer a son of Satan. I'm a son of the living God. All right? What fellowship does light have with darkness? None. Do I still have a free will? Yes. Can I rebel against God? Yes. Am I capable of sinning? Yes. But you know what? No temptation comes my way that I'm not able to bear, and temptation leads to sin. If I can fight the temptation, I don't have to walk around like I'm a weak, poor sinner. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. Amen to that? Yeah, proclaim that to someone next to you. I'm a saint. I'm a saint. And that it is possible. It's possible to resist every temptation. That's right. There's a way of escape. So I don't have to give in to sin. And listen, it's the church of Jesus Christ that's living in sin, because Ephesians 4:27 says when you sin, you give that spirit a foothold. It's the church that's living in sin that keeps opening spiritual doors and letting demons into their life. And there ain't a demon on this planet I'm going to let in. I'm going to fight them tooth and nail in Jesus' name. Okay? Praise God. Tell a person next to you, I'm not a sinner. And I know for some people that may be hard to say because of your church background or whatever you've been taught or wherever you've been heard. I mean, there's some great preachers on this planet that I respect. All right? But, you know, John MacArthur, I say his name only because publicly he just said this before he passed away. He said, you know, simultaneously, we're both righteous and unrighteous. Simultaneously, we're sinners and saints. And I'm going, that's new doctrine. That doesn't make sense. All right? I'm either a son of the devil or a son of God. All right? So, I can obey Jesus' words. Amen. When I leave this church, when I leave this city, I'm going to go and I'm going to sin no more. I'm not going to give place to the enemy. All right? Actually, I'm not going to sin no more because I've already proclaimed this a long time ago. I'm not going to live that way. Next, we press on. By living a life where we do not allow any root of bitterness become a part of us. That, brothers and sisters, bitterness is going to lead to an infection in our soul that's going to lead to unforgiveness. And God is the one who said, because of your unforgiveness, you're choosing to turn yourself over to tormentors. Okay? Matthew says that. Tormentors are demons. There are people in the church, it's not God's will. They're miserable. They're in pain. And God didn't choose for them to live that way. But the enemy came their way with a problem, a hurt. He brought somebody across their path that bruised them greatly. And now they're in such pain that they're angry and they're bitter. I've even heard Christians say, I'll never forgive them. And it grieves my heart when I hear that. Because I know that not only is that affecting them on the inside, but they're giving place to the enemy. There's a degree of torment that people can be free from. Amen. By obeying the words of Jesus. Yes. And Father, I forgive everyone who's hurt me in my past, whether I can or can't remember them. Amen. That's the way I live. Are you willing to live that way?
Yes.
Proclaim it. Say, Father,
I forgive
everyone in my past. That has hurt me. Those that I can remember, and even those that I can't. I exercise my will. I choose not to be turned over to the tormentors. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now this next press on. You know, those who have gone through a degree of deliverance. What's interesting is, there's some of us who've been in bondage for so long that even the spirit that has been tormenting us, sometimes those demons can sit down and rest because they have trained us to act certain ways. And even now it becomes a habit and we have bad habits. All right? Even after a demon's cast out, I help our people understand every place where you have been delivered. Now ask God, show me if there's a bad habit that demon helped me start in my life. All right? Because even if the demon's gone, if you continue the bad action, you could be inviting him back. All right? For example, I had a brother, praise God, his name was Stanley. He was delivered from about literally over 100 homosexual spirits. God completely transformed his life. But you know what? 2 weeks later, when I was talking to Stanley in the middle of a conversation, you know, he still had the bad habits that spirit had trained him. You know, he still held his hand a certain way. And he still talked a certain way. And he still walked a certain way. That was not the way a man should be walking and talking. Okay? And he needed to begin to train himself. Not just to be a man of God on the inside, but tell his body, we're going to be a man of God on the outside. All right? And it took a season. Casting out the spirit That bondage, that stronghold, it took less than an hour for it all to be gone. It took months to break the bad habit. That's the hard part. What we experienced this weekend, that's God's grace, God's mercy, and God's power. Oh, wow, that was wonderful. But now you need to begin to adjust your personality. You need to begin to change habits of how you talk. You need to change habits, all right? And God will talk to you about those habits. He'll talk to you because he loves you so much, he doesn't want you to invite the garbage back in.
Amen.
Amen. So all of us need to be advised. Hey, look at somebody. Say, you need to change your bad habits. Yeah. And you know, even as you change your habits, if what you've been walking the last 4 months together, those who have gone through the seminar, you're learning how to walk in alignment. That should be a lifestyle.
Yes.
That, you know, the more people in this church that come to church already in the Spirit, the more dynamic your services are going to become. All right? Don't wait for church to get you in the Spirit. Don't wait for worship to happen, even though, wow, what a team you have. And worship affects you. That's good. But still, come here already in alignment. And if the things that you've been learning, walking in alignment, tearing down idols, breaking curses that I've spoken against myself and others, and of course the cleansing teaching, stop sinning, stop giving place to that spirit. If what you have been learning is strong and good enough to give you the privilege of having a miracle day yesterday and getting free, if it's good enough to kick it out, it's good enough to keep it out.
Amen.
All right? But if it's just a program, oh yeah, I did that program. And unfortunately for some, you know, Denise, yeah, we've been doing this seminar since 1988. All right, this is not a Johnny-come-lately little thing in our life. All right, this is the purpose of my life. I am preparing the church to be spotless and holy because the King of Kings is coming soon. All right? And so this is not something that we just started a week or a year ago. This has been something that has been God's call. I personally believe it's the reason that I was born. I believe he was going to raise me up as a man to lead the church in cleansing, just as he raised Moses up to lead the church through a season of deliverance. And so we've been doing this for a while. It's just not, you know, new to us, so to speak. But I tell you what, every time we do it, it's more refreshing. All right? Watching people transform their lives and walk in the Spirit, wow. Hearing people go from glory to glory. Hearing miracles.
Yeah.
We heard miracles yesterday.
Yes.
All right? I mean, this was a place just like this was. In my journal, I wrote, our retreat in Sedalia this weekend was an Acts chapter 8 retreat. And I know in my spirit what I mean by that.
Absolutely.
Philip goes to Samaria. He's preaching and the power of God begins to flow. And the Bible says the whole city could see and hear miracles.
Yes.
All right. Well, we know how to see a miracle. How do you hear a miracle? And the next verse says, because demons, they cried out with a loud voice as they came out of many.
Yeah.
All right. We heard miracles yesterday.
Yeah.
And my prayer is that, and the next verse, verse 8, goes on and says, because of that, there was great joy in the city.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, I believe Sedalia is a church that has been chosen by God to bring, Liberty Life is to bring great joy to Sedalia.
Yes.
It's not going to happen through the government. It's not going to happen anyplace else except through people of God living and having the power of God in them and flowing through them.
Amen.
That all of a sudden in local restaurants, people start getting healed because of you. Walking up and down the grocery store, people are being delivered because of you. And that we, the people of God, in these end times, we lay aside our inhibitions and our fears and our and we be the people of God and bring life to this city. I pray what's happening in this congregation spreads like a mighty fire through Sedalia in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Next, you press on. Am I doing okay? How much time do we got? Next, we press on by walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I've got the Spirit of the living God inside of me. And the Holy Spirit and all the gifts of the Spirit all the fruits of the Spirit. You know, there are many in the body of Christ who deny the baptism with the Holy Spirit. There are many in the body of Christ that would say the gifts passed away with the first generation. There were many in the body of Christ that would say, if you pray in your spiritual language, if you speak in tongues, you're of the devil. All right? And there probably isn't a season that goes by. I'm not attacked that way also. Because we are a Spirit-filled ministry. Yes. And I am never going to deny the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And for you to be a person who's open more and more to the gifts and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to flow through you. Not only are you going to become a better person, but the more people in a specific church that live that way, that church can be more of an anointed body of Christ. Yes. All right? So I'm never going to push aside the Holy Spirit, that He is alive and well. The book of Acts continues to this day. The book of Acts, the church was born in Acts chapter 2, and the church, until it is raptured at the end of time, we are in what theologians want to call the church season, okay? And that continues. What you read in the book of Acts is supposed to be happening in this place. Yes. And that you need to come to church expecting it to happen. Yeah, that's right. Don't come to church dragging your feet in. No, come to church saying, wow, I can't wait to be with brothers and sisters, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do today.
Right.
All right? Because iron sharpens iron. Yes. The people around us are a blessing from God to us.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Then tell somebody, you're a blessing to me. You're a blessing to me. You're a blessing to me. Yeah, go ahead and tell them. Let them know that. Next, you press on. Every one of us need to go home and clean our house. All right, yeah, how'd they know? I'm not touching that. All right, yeah. No. Every one of us need to make sure that we don't have anything in our home that can invite the enemy in. Now, if I walk in, and by the way, we are involved on a regular basis. Last week, we had a church in Illinois that asked us to come and help them cleanse their land and their church property. We are involved in cleansing, property and homes on a regular basis. That, you know, your home should be filled with the Spirit of God. You know, the only time you meet God should not be in church. All right? He should dwell with you on a regular basis. And if I walked into your home, and obviously, if you know, over your sofa, you've got this great big picture of Satan, well, maybe you should get rid of that. All right? And I know there's nobody here that obvious, you know, the obvious stuff we have out of our homes. But, you know, there's other stuff that, like, she just called it a no-brainer. All right? Well, there's other stuff that's not necessarily a no-brainer. For example, we got done with one cleansing seminar retreat, and a brother came up to me afterwards, and he said, you know, this was okay, but I'm a little bit disappointed. And I said, what's wrong, brother? And he started sharing how, you know, I've been married 10 years now, okay? I still can't get my old girlfriend off my mind. I think I married the wrong woman. And I battle with this constantly. He said, here, let me show you her picture. He gets out his wallet and shows me a picture of this woman, all right? And I didn't say it, but I looked at him like, you know, no wonder she's on your mind. You sit on her every day, you know? But unbeknownst to him, there was a tie to that picture, a spiritual tie, a soul tie, and it needed to be broken. And I know other people, they have stuff. They have stuff in their home that is connected to stuff in their past. And you walk through that home, and you can't necessarily discern it just by looking at it. But these ticket stubs from this concert from 20 years ago where, you know, you got drunk and you had sex with somebody, those ticket stubs need to be getting rid of. Yeah. All right? There's just stuff. And it takes the Holy Spirit to help you walk through your home. Amen. Father, if there's anything in my home that's going to cause me to quench the Holy Spirit in my life, anything the enemy can use to lure, anything that would invite the enemy into my house. All right? And we have a responsibility to even help each other. If you got a question about something, come to someone that you trust. Show it to them. Talk to them. Find out, you know, here's, let them ask you some questions about the background of that stuff. You know, we had one sister that she was a single. She wanted to be married so bad, and in her irresponsibility and lifestyle, she started dating. She was a nurse. She started dating a doctor in a hospital, and she knew he was a married man. But he just satisfied some hurt inside of her. And the next thing you know, he's taking care of her and all kinds of, you know, lingerie and gifts and diamonds and things like that. And she finally came to her senses. She went through the cleansing seminar. And during the cleansing seminar, this is wrong. I got to break this. And we started talking about soul ties between him and her. And she made a commitment to break it off, okay? And she started cleansing her house of all the stuff he had given her. I mean, some of it was expensive stuff, all right? But she said, okay, I don't want anything, you know? And I remember about 2 weeks into this, she came back to me and she said, Pastor Timothy, I can't get rid of him. I told him I don't want anything to do with him anymore, but he keeps, you know, he keeps touching me inappropriately at the hospital. He keeps, you know? And finally, I just said, well, what's his name? Well, what's his number? And while she's sitting there in my office, I'm calling him, you know, and, you know, Dr. So-and-so's office. Is Dr. So-and-so in? No, he's in surgery right now. Sorry. Listen, this is Pastor Timothy Davis from So-and-so Sister Church, and I need to talk to him as soon as he's available. Oh, yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. About 4 hours went by. He called me, and hello, Pastor Davis, this is Dr. So-and-so. How can I help you? Is there an emergency? I said, yes, there is. I understand you're trying to have an affair with one of my sisters. And I named her by name, and he knew right away who I was talking about. And I said, I know she's tried to get to let you know that she's not going to live this way. She doesn't want to live this way. She knows it's wrong. It's ungodly. And she's tried, and you keep touching her. You keep doing things you shouldn't be doing. Listen, first of all, I need to warn you. She's got a lot of brothers. Big family. We are a big family. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And I said, you know, and we kind of talked our way through this. And I finally, at the end, I said, now, two things. Number one, do you want any of that garbage that you gave her? And, of course, a lot of it was expensive stuff. Oh, well, yeah. I said, well, I want you to know tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, it's going to be put out on the curb. And the Salvation Army is coming by at noon to pick it up. And if you want any of it, you need to better get over there. All right? But don't you walk up to her door and don't you knock on her door ever again. And by the way, doctor, I need to also let you know, the next time you touch her inappropriately, my next phone call will be to your home.
That's right.
You'll be talking to me from your home. Is that a phone call? Whoever did that, that's great timing. That's great timing. Praise God. So, go home and clean your house. And man, I'm in trouble here, folks. I still got two or three things to say here. Next, you press on by getting water baptized. Baptism, repent, be baptized. Water baptism is more than just getting wet in water and proving to God you're willing to embarrass yourself in front of all these people. No. You know, as a matter of fact, I love it. It says in Corinthians, it says Moses was baptized in the sea. When God's people walked through the Red Sea, it was an Old Testament picture of what was to become water baptism. Now think about what happened in the water. I mean, think about it. Here they come to this dead end, it looks like. God opens the water, right? You know, Charleston Heston walks through. You know? On the other side, all of Israel is with him. God then closes the water. And what's left in the water? 400 years of rape. 400 years of addiction. 400 years of hurt and pain. God used water to deliver them. And to this day, Israel has never been in bondage to Egypt. It was permanent. All right? So there's people here, you need to get baptized. And you don't get baptized just to prove to God you love him. One of the yes, you're dying to self, being risen. There's a lot of biblical truth in baptism. But one of the truths that I love is that Moses was baptized. I can't tell you how many people, their addiction. I had one brother, 10 years trying to get free of heroin. And when he walked through the water, I was there that day. He came up the other side. He turned around. Heroin, you're staying there. And it did. All right? He was free. So we press on. Get water baptized if it hasn't happened yet. All right? Next, you press on by making sure you have a dung friend. All right? Now, not friends full of dung. We get the word dung out of the same Greek root word that we get the word confess. Confess your sins, your faults to one another, and you will be healed, God says. Confess one to another, and you're getting garbage out, dung out. And all of us need somebody to talk to, somebody we can trust. And unfortunately, in the church, there are many that have been betrayed, many that have been stabbed in the back, many that gossip has formed. And brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus Christ, may that not be here.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
This should be a safe place for hurting people to talk about their hurt, get the garbage out, and it doesn't become gossip around the community. God forgive us that the church lives that way. And God forgive because people, even in my profession, pastors have broken confidence with people they should not have done. And I stand in behalf of them and repent that, Father God, may the church, we should be the safest place in town. Okay? To come and get the garbage out. And praise God, it only takes one on earth to agree with me. Because the Bible says when two on earth agrees, it happens.
Right.
Praise God, you don't have to get up in front of the church with a microphone and share garbage with everybody.
Yeah.
All right? It just takes two on earth. But everybody needs somebody to talk to. All right? I've got a pastor who just called me the other day that we have that kind of relationship. He was being attacked by thoughts of sexual things. He's not giving in to it. It's a temptation. It's an attack. But some attacks are so big, it takes two on earth to agree to fight. And he was wise enough to understand that I can share with Pastor Timothy about this battle, and he's not going to judge me or gossip. He's going to fight with me. Satan can attack any person here at any time in any category he wants to. But the problem is in the church, as soon as we're attacked, we immediately think it's a weakness, and I'm not going to tell anybody about it. We all need someone to pray with. Okay? Next, you press on by planting good seed. All right? I tell you, God's on a ladder. You will reap what you sow. Here's the challenge, though. People come to a season in their life where they plant good seed. You know, this is good, what I just planted. But for a season, they see nothing but bad come up.
Come on.
And the enemy says, see, they don't work. No, every seed that you planted will come up. So even after you plant the good seed and you're walking, all right, you're going to see the harvest of the bad. But once that harvest is done, you're going to see nothing but good.
Praise God.
The people in the church who are living in confusion, they plant bad seed one day of the week, good seed on Sunday. Bad seed the next week, good seed on Sunday. And they're just listen, get rid of the bad seed.
Amen.
All right? Just don't plant bad seed. Make a commitment that, Father God, I want to be a person that plants good, holy seed everywhere I go. Amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah, tell the person next to you, I'm going to plant good seed.
Amen.
Next, you press on. And I'm looking at the clock, and I know that we're behind. I apologize. All right. Next, you press on. I only got two more points. And then we're going to seal every truth that God is giving us today. We're going to seal it with the blood of the Lamb. We're going to partake of Holy Communion together. All right? But next, you press on. Don't wait. Don't sit around and wait for the enemy to attack. You attack back. All right? Don't be one of these that, oh, wow, this retreat was so wonderful, and I've had such a great 3 days. I just hope it could last maybe another day or two. Every day can be a good day. All right? There's not a day that goes by, including today.
That's right.
God says, Timothy, I give you all power and all authority over all the works of darkness. He said, Timothy, what you bind on earth is bound in the heavens. Father, this day, as I'm coming to Liberty Life to preach your living word, I bind every demon that would rise up against every person that's in the church. Every person that's seated there, Father God, may the works of darkness against them be bound and cast aside. May nothing hinder them from hearing the word. And I have that authority, and so do you. And that many in the church. Now think about this. God says, what you bind on earth is bound. What have you bound today? Now, please hear me. I'm not trying to condemn. But I'm here to tell you, Satan is free to operate in your life because you're tolerating it. You got to stop tolerating some stuff. You wake up with a headache, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm not giving into this. Headache, I bind you, be gone. Don't tolerate it. If anything, live your life in such a way that tomorrow morning, Satan is the one that wakes up with a headache. All right? Because he looks at you and says, daggone it, they're alive again. Because every day of the week, you should be a pain in the rear to his kingdom.
Yes.
And we're praying for our city. We're praying for our families. We're doing the things in the spirit that we are ambassadors of the King of Kings. And we need to live as holy ambassadors. And as ambassadors, we've got privileges.
Yes. That's right.
And we need to use those privileges. Last, you press on by getting additional help. If there's a specific place for those who just finished the retreat, here's a major area that God set me free, then let me suggest, find a book on that area and read about it. Because it's going to strengthen your soul in resisting the spirit that's behind that area. But get additional help. And if you're struggling with anything still in your life, then come to your pastor. Come to an elder and say, hey, I'm battling this. Do you know some resources that would help me? And just, we should be ongoingly growing and gleaning in the things of the kingdom. Please, don't wait for your growth spurts to only happen on Sunday morning. Praise God you get good food here at Liberty Life.
Yes.
Good food here. But you should be eating a good meal every day. And not just the Word of God, but the other helps that God has for us. Okay? Now, we're going to close this morning service. I've been asked to also lead us in partaking of the Lord's Supper. And so, do we want them to come forward? How do you guys do it?
Come through the middle on these sides. So we'll go through on this side and come back this way.
Okay, so you're going to come up the sides and get your communion, and let's go back to our seats. And then we're going to partake together. Is that all right? Together, right? Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And once you get back to your seat, go ahead and start opening it because that takes 10 minutes. Okay.
It's a glorious day.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Lord, we're thankful for the power that's in the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the power. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there was one time at our church, I did this teaching, and we also had communion at the end of it. but I served everybody a big Dixie cup full of grape juice, okay? And we went down every point and took a sip of grape juice. I will be a person of praise and worship in Jesus' name. I will be a person that rejoices my name is in the book of life. And I took a sip. And we went down each one of these. What we're going to do today is we're going to go down this list. I'm going to say it. And we're going to seal it at the end. All right? But with each one, if you're willing to make that commitment to your Creator, just say a strong amen. All right? Are you willing to be a person of praise and worship daily?
Amen.
Are you willing to be a person who rejoices that your name is in the book of life? Are you willing to be a person that walks in such a holy lifestyle that you will go and sin no more?
Amen.
Are you willing to make sure that you protect your soul and do not let a root of bitterness to get a foothold?
Amen.
Are you willing to listen to the Holy Spirit as He wants to show you bad habits that need to be changed?
Amen.
Are you willing not to be a person manipulated and controlled by your emotions, but you live in the Spirit rather than the feelings? Are you willing to walk in alignment? Are you willing to walk pulling down idols? Are you willing to watch your mouth and curses that you would speak? And are you willing to abstain from sin?
Amen.
Amen. Are you willing to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of the living God?
Amen.
Are you willing to go home and listen to the Holy Spirit as He begins to show you stuff that you need to clean and get out of your house? Are you willing to be water baptized if necessary?
Amen.
Are you willing to have a dung friend?
Amen.
That's a big one. God wants to show you and bring that person to you if you don't have one. Are you willing to be a Christian who throws away the bad seed and makes the commitment to plant only good?
Amen.
Are you willing to be a warrior who doesn't wait for the enemy to attack, but you begin to attack him?
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. So, Father God, all these scriptural points, we today partake of this holy cup. Jesus, you said, do this in remembrance of me until I come again. So not only are we releasing the power of Jesus Christ into our life, but we're also testifying. We believe our King is going to return someday.
Amen.
And we partake in Jesus' name. Go ahead. Now take the wafer, and the Bible says that because he was broken, what I like to do, these are so perfectly circles, I like to break it. Because he was broken for me, I don't have to be broken. But I've asked Denise if she would share that part.
Father, we thank you. We thank you that you loved us so much.
Yes.
That you said, hey, son, I want you to go there and redeem them back to me. And Jesus, we thank you for your love of the Father and your submission to him, for your heart for him, your desire to see the picture complete so that we can be home with you. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for the ministry of Jesus that you give to us. We thank you that you convict us of sin. We thank you that you are our comforter, that you fill us with power. You fill us with strength, with love. We thank you. And Jesus, thank you that because your body was broken, that anointed you to be the healer of the brokenhearted.
Thank you, Lord.
And so this morning, as we take your bread, we take the bread that represents your holy body that was broken. As we take it and put it inside of our bodies, we receive the healing that you provided for us. We receive not only the physical healing that you provided, but the inner healing that every broken part of us desires. For Jesus, as we see you walking toward us with your arms wide open, with your heart wide open, you come to us in the broken areas that have not heard your voice ever before. And I ask that you would speak to them even now. And as you receive the body of Jesus Christ, would you see him just enveloping you with his arms, just wrapping his arms around you and pulling him into your heart and healing you on a deep level that you maybe you thought you would never be healed in that area. Maybe you thought, I'll just carry this wound with me for the rest of my life. But no, today is the day. Today is the day of not only deliverance, but of healing that will be forever complete. We just receive your body, Lord Jesus. Go ahead and take his body.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We receive your healing.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. It's complete.
Thank you,
Lord. It's finished. We love you, Lord.
There's somebody here that physically is being beat on right now. The enemy is whipping you. He's beating on your physical body. And the Lord just told me it's like the day that the Apostle Paul was being beaten by the Romans. I mean, they were just giving him a good beat down. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the beating, God spoke to him and he spoke something to the Romans. He said, Is it legal for you to beat a citizen of Rome? And they instantly panicked because it's not. You can't beat a citizen of Rome without a trial. All right? And they did not know he was a citizen of Rome. And they stopped beating him because he asked the question. Listen, there's somebody here. I don't know who you are. But you need to speak up to the spiritual realm and you need to say, Satan, do you have a right to beat a citizen of heaven? Because that's who we are. Our bags are packed. We're on our way to glory. Your name's in the book. And we are citizens of heaven. And the enemy would have kept on beating Paul if he hadn't have spoken up. So the Holy Spirit would say to you, speak up today. Speak up and bring it to an end. May healing come to your body in Jesus' name.